But let's turn our attention right now to the book of Mark, chapter 12. Who is Yeshua? Yeshua is the most important man who ever lived, who brought the world the most important message. Everything that Yeshua did, said, every interaction with others that has been recorded for us in this divinely inspired book of Mark is extremely important. We want to understand as much as we possibly can about this most important man and his most important message. We are now getting close to the end of Messiah's most amazing life and ministry. Everything is intensifying. Everything is building to a fantastic climax, resulting in some of the most important events in human history. Yeshua repeatedly told his disciples he would be rejected and killed by the leaders of the chosen people, who should have known him the best and have been devoted to him the most. But that didn't happen. The leaders early on opposed Yeshua and decided to kill him. And Yeshua knew it. A day earlier, Yeshua had entered the temple courts and drove out those who were buying and selling. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And he announced that the temple had been turned into a den of robbers instead of being a house of prayer for all nations. Well, this only further antagonized and infuriated the leaders, who now were actively looking for a way to kill the carpenter from Nazareth. The following day, Yeshua returned to the temple, and the conflict intensifies even more. The chief priests, the Torah teachers, the experts in Judaism, and the elders had challenged Yeshua about his authority to cleanse the temple. Now Yeshua goes on the offensive. Mark tells us that Yeshua then began to speak to them in parables. And here's the parable. A man planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it. He dug a pit for the wine press, and he built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers, and he moved to another place. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants to collect from them some of the fruit of the vineyard. But they seized him, beat him, and sent him away empty-handed. Then he sent another servant to them. They struck this man on the head and treated him shamefully. He sent still another, and that one they killed. He sent many others. Some of them they beat, others they killed. He had one left to send, a son whom he loved. He sent him last of all, saying, "They will respect my son." But the tenants said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they took him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. What then will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and he will kill those tenants, and he will give the vineyard to others. Haven't you read this passage of Scripture? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. God the Father is the man who planted the vineyard. The vineyard is the nation of Israel. The farmers are the leaders of the nation. The servants sent to collect some of the fruit are the prophets. Throughout our history, the prophets were continually rejected by corrupt leaders. The Son, who is treated worse than the prophets, is the Son of God, Yeshua the Messiah, who predicts that he is going to be killed by the current generation of leaders. Their rejection of him, however, will cause God the Father to severely punish them and remove them from their position of leadership. Their spiritual leadership will be transferred to others, to Messiah's leaders that he's raising up, his disciples. Yeshua reinforces this parable by quoting the prophecy found in Psalm 118. The stone, the Messiah, the builders, the leaders of Israel, rejected, has become the cornerstone, the foundation of a new community. God the Father will use the rejection of the Messiah by the leaders to advance his plan for the creation of a new, united, redeemed humanity. He will overrule these corrupt leaders and make the rejected Messiah central to his plan for a new, redeemed humanity. Yeshua is someone who understood that throughout our history, the majority of the chosen people, including the leaders, went astray, including the leaders of his generation. Who is Yeshua? He's a true prophet. He's someone who prophesied that there would be disastrous consequences for the Jewish people because of our rejection of him, and disastrous consequences happened, starting with the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, and the scattering of Israel among the nations, where life has continued to be difficult for most of us for most of the past 2,000 years. He is a true prophet. Then the chief priests, the Torah teachers, the experts in Judaism, and the elders looked for a way to arrest him, because they knew he had spoken the parable against them. But they were afraid of the crowd, so they couldn't arrest him. So they left him and went away. Most people do not like to be corrected, especially leaders. Most leaders, when corrected, respond with anger. But Yeshua is someone who loves us enough to correct us even though we may get angry. Telling the leaders this parable took wisdom and courage. Yeshua is someone who has amazing wisdom and awesome courage. And he is someone who wants Christians and Messianic Jews to be wise and courageous and correct people, speaking the truth to them in love. The conflict between Messiah and the leaders continues to escalate. Next, another group of leaders went on the offensive. Mark tells us that later they sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to Yeshua to catch him in his words. So Mark is letting us know that this interaction is intended to trap Yeshua, to catch him in his words. Some Pharisees and some of those loyal to Herod want Yeshua to say something they can use to accuse him of a crime. To put him off guard, they begin with flattery, designed to communicate respect to Yeshua, which in reality they don't have. They came to him and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are, but you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth." They didn't believe a word of what they just said. With the flattery over, and hopefully Yeshua off guard, now comes the trap. Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? Should we pay or shouldn't we pay? But Yeshua knew their hypocrisy. "Why are you trying to trap me?" he responded. Yeshua is someone who always knows when we are being hypocrites, saying one thing and doing another, and whether we are being sincere or insincere. Always knows. Yeshua is someone who is always wiser than all of his opponents. None of his opponents, be they a fallen angel or the shrewdest human being, will ever trap him or outmaneuver him. He asked, "Bring me a denarius and let me look at it." They brought the coin and asked him, and he asked them, "Whose image is this? And whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then Yeshua said to them, "Give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." And they were amazed at him. They were amazed at him because they thought no matter how he responded, he would be trapped. There was no way out. If he answered yes, it was right for the oppressed and impoverished Jewish people to pay taxes to those unrighteous Gentile conquerors. That was partially true, but not entirely true. And that response would have offended most of the Jewish people who liked Yeshua and were protecting him. It would have removed his protection. If he said, "No, it isn't right to pay taxes to the Romans," he would have been accused of telling people not to pay taxes to Rome, and that was a very serious crime. They were amazed at him because they thought no matter how he answered, he would be trapped. But not only did Yeshua avoid their trap, he used this challenge to teach his followers an important lesson on our obligations to the state, even if the state is pagan or secular. Roman coins were used in Israel, and on the coin Yeshua was shown was the image of the emperor. Since that coin was issued by Rome and was connected to Rome, Yeshua declares it is right to give that coin back to Rome in the form of taxes. What Yeshua is really doing is teaching us that Christians and Messianic Jews have obligations to God, but we also have obligations to the state, even if the state is secular or pagan. God raises up nations, and God raises up leaders and puts them in positions of authority in those nations. Yeshua does not want us to rebel against the legitimate authorities that God has placed over us, be they leaders of the state or leaders of his community. Yeshua is someone who wants us to fulfill our obligations to God and our obligations to the state, including paying our taxes. The Pharisees and Herodians failed in their effort to trap Yeshua. Next, another group of leaders tries. Then the Sadducees, those who were associated with the priests and the temple. Then the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him with a question. Rabbi, they said. The Sadducees also approached Yeshua with flattery and insincerity. They addressed him as Rabbi, but they really did not believe the carpenter from Nazareth was a real rabbi. And they were insincere because they asked a question they did not believe was a possibility. They did not believe in the resurrection. Their insincere question was designed to make Yeshua look foolish so as to lessen his credibility. Rabbi, they said, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. And that is the law of levirate marriage, which is part of the Sinai covenant. Now, there were seven brothers. The first one married and died without leaving any children. The second one married the widow, but he also died leaving no children. It was the same with the third. In fact, none of the seven left any children. Wow, what a story. Last of all, the woman died too. At the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her? This question assumes that the future state is like the present. If that's the case, then the resurrected woman would be married to seven men, which is adultery. Or she will be married to one of the seven, which would not be fair to the other six. And there cannot be unfairness in the world to come. If Yeshua chooses either of these answers, he will appear foolish and lose credibility. But Yeshua is wiser than all of his opponents, always, and never falls into any of their traps. Yeshua replied, "Are you not in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God?" Yeshua is someone who loves us enough to tell us when we are in error. Are you not in error? He is someone who wants to correct us, free us from our errors, and he wants us to humble ourselves and receive his correction. And generally, he will do that correction through someone else who has the wisdom and the courage to confront us. Yeshua is someone who wants human beings to know the scriptures. Are you not in error because you do not know the scriptures? He is someone who wants us to believe in the divinely inspired writings from Genesis to Revelation. Yeshua is someone who wants us to know the power of God. Are you not in error because you do not know the power of God? What the Almighty is capable of doing. And the Almighty is all-powerful and is capable of doing a lot. Yeshua outmaneuvers the Sadducees, and he uses their challenge to correct them and teach them and us an important lesson on the reality of resurrection. Yeshua knows that the future state is not like the present. And he said this, "When the dead rise, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven." Now, about the dead rising, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the account of the burning bush, how God said to Moses, "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob"? He's not the God of the dead, but of the living. You are badly mistaken. Moses, when describing God's revelation of himself to Moses at the burning bush, did not use the past tense, "I was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." If God is addressing Moses hundreds of years after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob died, and he's not using the past tense, then Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob must still be in the present. They must be alive. If God is still their God now in the present, and God is alive and eternal, then Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob must also be alive and eternal in God's eternal present. They will be resurrected, so God will continue to be their eternal God. This is brilliant. Simple, but brilliant. Yeshua is someone who knows that there is life after death, especially for the righteous. Yeshua is someone who knows that the resurrection is true. Yeshua is someone who knows that the future life is not identical to the present life. Yeshua is someone who knows that heaven is real. Yeshua is someone who knows that angels are real. Yeshua is someone who knows that the Torah is true, and that the Torah was written by Moses. He calls it the Book of Moses. It was not written after Moses by others, like liberal apostates today believe. Yeshua is someone who does not want us to fall into the trap of people who are asking insincere questions designed to make us look foolish. He wants us to be wise and to take control of each challenge and correct people who are challenging us with the truth. This has all been taking place in Jerusalem, at the temple. Yeshua is still at the temple. Next, Mark tells us about Yeshua's interaction with a Torah teacher, an expert in Jewish law. It doesn't seem like this man is trying to trap Yeshua, just have a good theological discussion. And Yeshua is someone who is happy to discuss theology with those who are sincere. He seems to enjoy a good theological conversation. One of the Torah teachers came and heard them debating. Noticing that Yeshua had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" And Yeshua acknowledges that there are commandments that are more important and less important. "The most important one," answered Yeshua, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. there is no commandment greater than these. Yeshua is someone who knows that God is real and that there is only one God, and that the one God is the God of Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. The one true God is the God of Israel. Yeshua is someone who knows that the one true God, the God of Israel, can be loved, and that the God of Israel deserves the love, the complete, total devotion of his creatures. And Yeshua is someone who does not want us to be selfish, self-centered, thinking about only ourselves, caring only for ourselves. He wants us to love other people, to care about them, to help them, to do what is best for them. These are the two greatest commandments. Yeshua had gained the respect of this Torah teacher, this expert in Judaism. Well said, Rabbi, acknowledging that Yeshua was worthy of the title Rabbi. Well said, Rabbi, the man replied. You are right in saying that God is one. God's real, God exists, God is one, and there's no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. This is a tremendous insight on the part of this Torah teacher. This is an insight that so many religious people over the centuries and today have never understood. The essence of true religion is not about rituals and ceremonies, even God-ordained rituals, God-ordained ceremonies, like the sacrifices at the temple. The essence of true religion is knowing the one true God, putting him first, being devoted to him, serving him with everything you have, everything you are, and loving other human beings with a selfless, generous love. When Yeshua saw that he had answered wisely, Yeshua said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God. You're really close to where you should be." Yeshua is someone who knows when we are sincere or insincere, when we answer wisely or we answer foolishly. Yeshua is someone who knows when we are close to the kingdom of God or far from the kingdom of God. Yeshua is someone who corrects us when we are moving in the wrong direction, farther from the kingdom of God, and commends us when we are moving in the right direction, getting close to the kingdom of God. Mark tells us, from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions, especially questions designed to trick him, trap him, challenge him, because it had now become obvious to everyone that Yeshua was the wisest of all, and anyone who tried to trap him would become the one who was made to look foolish. No one dared ask the rabbi any more questions. But Yeshua had a question of his own, a special question designed to make it clear to the chosen people that the Messiah had to be more than a man. The Messiah had to be divine. While Yeshua was teaching in the temple courts, he asked, "Why do the Torah teachers say that the Messiah is the son of David? David himself speaking by the Holy Spirit, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, declared, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet." David himself calls him, the Messiah, Lord. How then can the Messiah be David's son? The large crowd listened to him with delight. Everyone in Israel knew that the Messiah was going to be a descendant of David. But virtually no one understood that the Messiah would be divine, except one man, Yeshua. Yeshua's argument here comes from Psalm 110. In this divinely inspired poem, David tells about a conversation he heard between Adonai, the Lord, who is God the Father, and one whom David refers to as his Adon, his Lord. That's the Messiah. Who is greater than David? Who sits victoriously at the right hand of God the Father, according to Psalm 110, waiting for God to defeat his enemies so that he can rule over Israel and the nations? Who is greater than Israel's greatest king, David, and worthy of being called David's Lord? Not Saul, who came before David, nor any of David's descendants who came after him, nor any of the leaders of the nations of the world. David's Lord is the Adon Messiah, the Lord Messiah, greater than David. Yeshua is telling us that he is the divine Messiah, David's Lord, who will rule Israel and the nations after all of his enemies have been defeated. He is to be believed in, this Adon Messiah, this Lord Messiah. He is to be respected. He is to be obeyed. He is not to be challenged. Yeshua continues his offensive. He warns about hypocritical spiritual leaders. As he taught, Yeshua said, "Watch out for the Torah teachers, these experts in Judaism. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets." Sounds like a lot of pastors and rabbis that I know today. "They devour widows' houses, however, and for a show, make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely." Yeshua is someone who will not tolerate spiritual leaders who are greedy, unjust, and hypocritical. Just as he cleansed the temple, he demands that our inner temple be pure, especially the inner life of spiritual leaders. The Torah teachers were the experts in the Torah and its applications and were respected. Kind of like lawyers today. Experts in the law, but back then the law was religious. Yeshua is someone who teaches that there are degrees of punishment, because to whom much is given, much is required. These men will be punished most severely. Leaders who are expected to know more will be held to a higher standard and will be punished most severely. If that's the case, do you still want to be a Bible teacher, pastor, rabbi, esteemed theologian? Messiah is still in the temple. Mark tells us that Yeshua sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Yeshua said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, their surplus, their extra. But she gave out of her poverty. She put in everything, all she had to live on." Human beings are impressed with the outside, with the results. Those rich people, they gave a lot. They are to be highly commended. That poor widow, she only gave a few cents. She is unimpressive and not worthy of commendation. But Yeshua is someone who operates by the principle that inner motivation is more important than outward results. Inner motivation is more important than outward results. That man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And Yeshua wants us not to judge by mere outward appearance, by results and numbers and amounts, but by the heart, a person's inner love and devotion and holiness. So who is Yeshua according to this 12th chapter of this divinely inspired book of Mark? Yeshua is someone who understood that throughout our history, the majority of the chosen people, including the leaders, went astray, including the leaders of his generation. Yeshua is a true prophet. He prophesied that there would be disastrous consequences for the Jewish people because of our rejection of him, and disastrous consequences indeed happened. Yeshua is someone who loves us enough to correct us, even though we may get angry. And he wants us to humble ourselves and receive his correction. Yeshua is someone who has amazing wisdom and awesome courage. And he is someone who wants Christians and Messianic Jews likewise to be wise and courageous. Yeshua is someone who always knows when we are being hypocrites, saying one thing but doing another, and whether we are being sincere or insincere. So maybe we should be sincere and not be hypocrites. Yeshua is someone who is always wiser than all of his opponents. None of his opponents, be they fallen angel or shrewdest human being, will ever outmaneuver him or trap him. Yeshua is someone who does not want us to fall into the trap of people who are asking us insincere questions designed to make us look foolish. Yeshua wants us to take control of each challenge and correct people with the truth. Yeshua does not want us to rebel against the legitimate authorities that God has placed over us, be they leaders of the state or leaders of his community. He wants us to fulfill our obligations to God and our obligations to the state, including paying our taxes. Yeshua is someone who wants human beings to know the scriptures, to believe the divinely inspired writings from Genesis to Revelation. Yeshua is someone who wants us to know the power of God, that God is almighty and is capable of doing a lot. We should never underestimate the power of God. Yeshua is someone who knows that there is life after death. who knows that the resurrection is true, who knows that the future life is not like the present life, who knows that heaven is real, who knows that angels are real. Yeshua is someone who knows that the Torah is true and that the Torah was written by Moses. It is the book of Moses. It was not written centuries after Moses by others. Yeshua is someone who is happy to discuss theology with those who are sincere and interested. Yeshua is someone who acknowledges that there are commandments that are more important and less important. Yeshua is someone who knows that there's only one God, and that the God of Israel can be loved, and that the God of Israel deserves the total, complete devotion of his creatures. Yeshua is someone who does not want us to be self-centered, caring only for ourselves, thinking only about ourselves. He wants us to love other human beings, to care about them, to help them, to do what is best for them. Yeshua is someone who knows when we are close to the kingdom of God or far from the kingdom of God, who corrects us when we are moving in the wrong direction, who commends us when we are moving in the right direction. Yeshua was virtually the only one in Israel who understood that the Messiah would be more than just a man. He would also be divine, the God-man. Yeshua is someone who will not tolerate spiritual leaders who are greedy, unjust, and hypocritical. Just as he cleansed the temple, he demands that our inner temple be pure and holy. Yeshua is someone who teaches that there are degrees of punishment because to whom much is given, much is required. Yeshua is someone who operates by the principle that inner motivation is more important than outward results, that man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart, and so should we. May God enable Yeshua to be all these things to us, and may we respond faithfully to all that he is and become all that we should be. Amen.